So everybody, that was Shishi, Thursday, 8th of May. Parshas Behar, Rabbi Daniel Klein.
Shosavi Mairi. I saw earlier this week a fascinating machlokas between a Rav called the Ridbaz, who was the Rav of Tzfas in the late 19th century, and Rav Kook, who was, of course, in the early 20th century, he was the chief rabbi in Israel. The machlokas focuses around Eretz Yisrael, as one might expect. It focuses that the centerpiece of what they're debating is actually, we'll have enough gemina with regards to Shemitah. Shemitah, of course, being this week's parasha, Parshas Behar. And for those of you who don't know, this coming year, Tovshin Ayin Hei, or Rosh Hashanah, is a Shemitah year. And in fact, just thinking about it a couple of days ago, there were probably hundreds of thousands, if not over a million Jews, who celebrated Yom HaTzmaut. Many celebrated it as a national holiday, majority. It's a state with an army and they're proud of their health service. But there are many people who celebrate Yom HaTzmaut as a religious idea. And it's worthwhile, I think, looking at the particular point the Ridbaz raises and delving into that slightly. In maybe a little bit of historical background, I'm sure some of you will know this already, but in 1888, there was the Yeshuv in Eretz Yisrael. There was the first Aliyah, as they call it. And the people who lived there, who made a massive effort to move from Europe with very idealistic reasons to live in Eretz Yisrael, they sent a Shaila to the Rabbonim in Europe that they didn't want to, they needed a way to circumvent Shemitah, because they spent so long trying to convert the swamps and their wasteland and the mud into fields and orchards, and they were worried that if they didn't keep Shemitah for 1 year, if they actually kept Shemitah, for a year, and they didn't work on the fields, then the fields would, as it were, go back to their previous state, and they'd lose all their hard work. They had no food to eat, they had no money, and therefore they wanted a heter. They sent a letter to Europe, and several rabbonim, the most prominent amongst them, the Yitzchok Kahn Inspector, told them that they have a heter called what we now know as the heter mechira. Many rabbonim at the time, the Beis Halevi, the Netziv, opposed the heter mechira. And just before we go into the Ridbaz's particular point, a quick overview of what the heter mechira does, which anyway would be useful, and I'm sure you'll hear another shir which goes into it at some point into greater detail. The concept of Shemitah, as it were, contains three ideas. When the Torah says Shemitah, there are three basic halachas which we always have to remember. Number one is the Torah says that one mustn't work on the land. You're not allowed to plow, you mustn't sow, you mustn't prune your trees. The Torah forbids you to do any work on your land. That's called avodas karaka. That's point one of Shemitah. Point two of Shemitah: those things that do grow have kedusha. So a tree will sprout fruit, even though you haven't planted and you haven't worked on the ground, but the fruit will grow. Similarly, what the Torah calls svichim, seeds, wheat and barley that land in the ground, that also grow naturally. Says the Torah, what grows in Shemitah has kedusha. You're not allowed to sell, you mustn't make a profit from it, you have to treat it with respect, you can't throw the peels in the dustbin. Okay, so that's the second halacha. There's avodas karaka is also in Shemitah, and kedushas pri, what does grow has kedusha. The third concept of Shemitah, one that we're probably more used to in England, more relevant sometimes, is Shemitah's ksofim, that if Reuven lends Shimon money, comes to Shemitah, Shimon can just turn around to Reuven and say, I don't want to pay you, I don't have to pay you. Shemitah cancels the debt. It's a very, on the face of it, strange halacha, but that's the halacha of Shemitah. Maybe we'll look at it soon. Three concepts of Shemitah. Tainud, the yeshuv to the rabbonim in Europe. We're not allowed to work on our fields. If we don't work on our fields, to the whole year of Shemitah, avodas this karaka, what's going to happen to our parnosa? If we can't sell our fruit, what's going to happen? What are we going to live from? Said the rabbonim, you know what you can do? You can sell your land. Sell your land for Shemitah to a non-Jew. The non-Jew will own your land for a year. If the Arab owns your land, then an Arab who owns land, an Arab is mechayev to keep Shemitah? Of course not. Arab doesn't have to keep Shemitah. Therefore, the Arab owns the land. You can work the land of the Arab. You can sell the fruit of the Arab. And therefore, you can avoid keeping Shemitah. That was the heter of Yitzchok Kahn Inspector. He gave it b'dieved. Rav Kook interestingly writes that he was against the heter. And only 21 years later, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he changed his mind. But very briefly, and by all means, you're welcome to participate and ask questions if you have. I'm not sure I'll be able to answer. The Rabbonim were against this concept called heter mechira, selling the land. It still applies. Just a matter of fact, in 2007, 7 years ago, the last Shemitah, the Rabbanut in Israel sold 70 billion shekel worth of land. That was the value. They sold it to one Arab for 70 billion shekel. And then after Shemitah, they buy it back. And that way, the Jews can keep working on the land during Shemitah. The basic tainas against selling the land to the Goy are threefold. Number one, the Torah says, Lo sechone, which the Gemara Darshan's, Lo yehe lohem chaniya. You're not allowed to give land to a Goy in Israel. Said the Rabbonim tribute to Chachanon, if you're giving, you're selling your land to a non-Jew in Israel. It's also to sell land, forget Shemitah, it's just simply also to sell land in Israel, in Eretz Yisrael, to a non-Jew. He says, you're quite right, there isn't Issa. But firstly, this is only temporary. They're going to get it back in a year. Secondly, the Issa only applies to people who serve Avodah the Zara, and an Arab doesn't serve Avodah the Zara. He believes in only one God, and therefore there's no Issa. That was Taina number one. Taina number two, they said that the sale is insincere. When the Jew sells the land to the Arab, he doesn't mean it. He said, what would happen if the Arab didn't sell it back to him? The Arab would be dead the next day. These Jews in 1888, they weren't selling their land. They would never mean it. So are you going to tell me Mechiras Chometz before Pesach every year? We all sell our Chometz. So there's a massive difference. The Jew who sells his Chometz before Pesach, if the Goy after Pesach says, you know what, I want to keep the Chometz. So you say to him, okay, you put a real price in the shtar. You say, it costs, my Chometz is worth £500. If the Goy gives you £500, you'll gladly sell your Chometz for £500. You'll go and buy yourself some new biscuits and whiskey and crackers. The price has to be right, but you'll sell. Taina the Rabbonim, but the Jew in Eretz Yisrael, who's trekked all the way, he spent 12 months going from Poland and Russia to live in Israel, he is not going to sell his land now to an Arab, therefore it's insincere. Second Taina. And the third Taina they had was that just because a Goy owns land in Eretz Yisrael doesn't mean that it's potter from Shemitah. That Diyukim in the Rambam, it could be that even if a Goy owns land in Eretz Yisrael, that land still has the laws of Shemitah. Okay, those were the Tainas, backwards and forwards with the Het and Mechira, we can and can't. Came along the Ridbaz. And Ridbaz has a whole new way of looking at it. Says Ridbaz, he has a pirush on the Yerushalmi, and he was quite ferocious in his comments all over the place. He had no qualm standing up. He was the Rav of Tzfas, had no qualm standing up and saying what he thought of anyone. And he said, he goes, Rabbosai, he says, I live in Tzfas. He says, why have I made the effort, he used to live in Russia, in Slutsk, he says, why have I made the effort to come to Tzfas? What's the reason I've come here? He says, the whole reason I've come here is because there's a mitzvah called Mitzvah Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael. There's a mitzvah to live here. He says, why is there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? To keep the mitzvahs. I've come here to fulfill my mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael and then not going to keep the mitzvahs. There's no point. What's the point of coming to live in Eretz Yisrael if I'm not going to keep the mitzvah of Shemitah? That's exactly what the Torah gave us, mitzvahs of Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael. To keep the mitzvahs that one can only do in Eretz Yisrael. Tanis was a whole new svar. Forget whether you can sell land, forget whether you're sincere. He said, your life is one big contradiction. You've come to live here, you're all idealists. And those, in 1888, everyone who's coming there was making a massive effort. They were ideologists. Okay, fine, you want to live here. Why are you mitzvah? Choshev Eretz Yisrael. So what are you doing? Why are you giving up your mitzvahs? No, so he said, it just makes no sense. He said, all his taina was, he wasn't saying osurim, but saying it makes no, he was just ferocious, said it makes no sense what you're doing, 100%. Said Rav Kook, 21 years later, it was three Shemitahs later by the time Rav Kook came to Israel. I don't know if he came to Israel, that's when he became the Rav. And he tainered. He said, no. He says, who tells you that the mitzvah of Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael depends on keeping the mitzvahs? You can live in Eretz Yisrael and not keep the mitzvahs, and you still mekayim your mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. And he said, and even if there's no mitzvah of Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael, simply being in the land of Eretz Yisrael, the Torah says that the Eretz Yisrael is the Eretz Asher Tomed Einei Hashem Lekecha Bo, it's the land where Hashem is looking at. Even if you're not mekayim mitzvah, just being here is important, and therefore the fact that we can, as it were, rid ourselves or not do the mitzvah of Shemitah is not a reason not to, is not a steerer to our living in Eretz Yisrael. I want to look a little bit into the Ridbaz. The Ridbaz, as it were, has made a chiddush. We don't normally justify the mitzvahs and explain them. And he's told us that there's a mitzvah called Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael. There's another mitzvah called Shemitah, Trumas and Maestros, Orelah, Kilaim, all these mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. And he said, you know why there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? Because of the mitzvahs. I.e. those mitzvahs justify us living in Eretz Yisrael. And they, something about those mitzvahs necessitate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a homeland. And the reason why he gave us a homeland was to do those mitzvahs. Agav, just before we move on, this is a chiddush to keep you all awake at this time of night, which is pretty late. If you can space in for a minute, Shlomo Zalman has a most amazing chiddush in Hilchos Heta Mechira. Just agav. You know, basically, if you have a fruit, and this will come up next year because there are many, many shops, I'm sure there will be shops here in England that will sell produce that doesn't come with a Heksha, that it didn't have Heta Mechira, so therefore the shops will have sell produce from Eretz Yisrael that came with a Heta Mechira. Rishayim Zalman times as follows. He says, nowadays, Shemitah is only Drabonah. Chiddush, number one, it's quite accepted. He says either because Eretz Yisrael no longer has the Kedusha it used to have, so there's no real Shemitah nowadays, Midaraisa, or he says that there's only a Din, could be Eretz Yisrael has the Kedusha, but Shemitah only applies when we have a Beis HaMikdash. Either way, he holds Shemitah is only Durabonon nowadays. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, you walk past the shop that sells fruit, and the fruit has been grown on land, properly cultivated, because it's land that was sold with the Heta Mechira, and they're going to sell it to you. Real Shemitah produce you can't sell. It's Hefka. They're going to sell it to you because it's Heta Mechira. They say it's an Arab's. It was an Arab's fruit. They're going to sell it to you. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, the guy walks past the shop, and he's got a question. Can I buy the fruit or can I not buy the fruit? If he holds of Heta Mechira, can he buy the fruit? If he holds Heta Mechira, no problem. If he doesn't hold of Heta Mechira, he's not allowed to buy it. But why is he not allowed to buy it? Midrabbonon, he's not allowed to buy it because Shemitah's Drabbon. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, the Gemara says, when you have a machlokes haposkim, when you have two rabbonim, two shittas, but two accepted rabbonim, two gedolim, one says shitta A, one says muta, and one says osa, says the Gemara, bid rabbonim, when it comes to a surid rabbonim, holchin acha hameikol. When you have a machlokes haposkim, you can paskin like the meikol shitta in a surid rabbonim. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, mamela, if a Rav is approached by somebody and says, Rabbi, can I have this fruit of Heta Mechira in the shop? He says, the Rav has to turn around. If he holds its Osa, he doesn't hold of Heta Mechira, and he holds the fruit has got Shemitah, Dinei Shemitah, and therefore you can't eat it. He says, Rav Shlomo, if this man belongs to your Kehillah and you're his Rabbi, then you turn around to him and you say, listen, mate, I'm your Rav. I hold that this is a Shemitah fruit and you can't buy it, because I'm your Rav. But if the man who comes to you is not your constituent, he's just somebody else who asks you for the psak, you have to turn around to him and say, you know what, I don't think this is mutter. But there is a very accepted rabbi over there, and he says it is mutter. I disagree with him, but do I hold of him as a Rav? Yes. Therefore you're allowed to eat this, because although I hold it's osa, but b'drabon holchen acha meikol. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, the Rav has to paskin like the meikol, although he doesn't hold of Heta Mechira, he has to paskin that it's mutter. Because as Rav Shlomo Zalman, it comes to Heta Mechira, we had Ge'onei Olam who paskined it was mutter. Because if you're his Rav, then he has to accept what you hold. That's the general rules. A person should have one Rav, and they should accept his psak. But if he's a man from the street, he doesn't have to accept your psak, and therefore you have to give him the general psak. Lemaisa, the Gedolim say nowadays that when Rav Yitzchak Achonon gave his Heta for Mechira, he said quite clearly it was Bediyeved, it was a Shas Hadchak. Even Rav Kook was very much said it's a Shas Hadchak. And therefore nowadays, more and more Heta Mechira is falling by the wayside, and Rav Shlomo Zalman's Psak may no longer apply, because there may no longer be a really established Rav who says it's Mutter. But that is, I don't know, I really don't know which Rav wants to say yes or no. But that was just a very interesting Psak. So in the Ritzbos, in the Ritvaz's Chiddush, the Ritvaz's Machadish to me, Mitzvahs HaKloyos Ba'aretz, those mitzvahs justify us living in Eretz Yisrael. Why is that? Let's look at Shemitah. What is the purpose behind Mitzvah Shemitah? The Torah says you mustn't work in your land for a year. Why not? What is the Torah trying to achieve? The Torah wants me... what? Says the Sefer HaChinuch, it's obvious, says the Sefer HaChinuch, because the Torah wants to show you, you think you're in charge. You think the land belongs to you. Similarly to the week, Sheishes Yomim Tasim Lavtecha, for 6 days in the week you work, the Yom Ashri, Shabbos, the seventh day you stop working, Shabbos is my day, you don't do your own jobs. Every 7 years Hashem says, that's my land. You're not in charge. This is me, I'm in charge. And I tell you, don't work. Somebody owes you money, you think your money is yours, you think you earn that money is mine. I'm in charge of giving out money in this world, and I say he doesn't have to pay you back. The Torah is making a very pointed, possibly the most important thing we have, Anoich Hashem Melekecha, the first Aseret Dibros, I am in charge. I am Hashem, your God, and you will listen to me. The world belongs to me. That's the point of Shemitah. Maybe just taking a point, very a subtle point, slightly deeper. You know, the Pasuk says in this week's parasha that if a person keeps Shemitah, he's going to turn around and say, if I don't work the land for the whole year, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to starve. Says the Torah, don't worry about it, a bracha, you will have food for a year. Simple pshat, 3 years. Yeah, you'll have enough food to last you. Simple pshat. How do we understand the Torah? The Torah is conscious that people are going to be nervous, and the Torah reassures the man, don't worry, don't worry. You're worried to keep Shemitah, I give you a bracha, you'll be fine. That's simple level. Perhaps slightly deeper, more subtle. The Torah is trying to point out to you, you think it's your work that gives you parnoso. You think it's because you work the land that you have food? Watch, you don't work for a whole year and watch what happens. You'll still have food. The Torah is not giving you the food because it needs to reassure you. Don't worry, keep Shemitah and let me reassure you you'll have food. The Torah's giving of the food is mamash a chelik of what the Torah is trying to point out. You think you're in charge. You think you work and you make money? It's not true. Don't work and you'll still make money. And you know what? If you do work during Shemitah, you won't make money. It won't grow. The Torah's giving, granting of food, of extra food, is hogufa a chelik of what it's trying to prove by Shemitah. And what's the punishment if a person doesn't keep Shemitah? You know what the punishment is? Very severe punishment. The Torah says in the Techocha, and Parshas Bechukosai, the Torah says, in Perek Chavav, Posek Lamed Gimel, the Torah says, V'hoysa artzchem shemomo, your land will be desolate, V'arechim yucharba, again your cities will be destroyed. Then it says, Oz tirtze ha'aretz ha'shabsei sehel. When you have golus, you're going to be, your land will be desolate, i.e. you will be kicked out of your land. Then the land will be able to rest. Say chazal midah keneged midah. If you don't keep Shemitah, if you don't let your land rest, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forcibly ensure that you will go to golus and your land will have to rest, whether you like it or not. One second, let me finish up the point and then we'll... The punishment of Shemitah is golus. Massively strict punishment. I mean, you think that Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. The Gemara says in Yuma, for Gimel Averis Chamur is murder, immorality, and Bidazara. And here, of Shemitah, okay, I mean, it's obviously one of the 630 mitzvahs. Golus is just the worst you could possibly get. And that's for not keeping Shemitah. Why? So I was thinking, perhaps one could say, you know why Shemitah is so important? What does Shemitah do? In Shemitah we acknowledge that Hashem rules the world. In Shemitah we acknowledge the world belongs to Him. Why did Klal Yisrael have Eretz Yisrael? They weren't living in Eretz Yisrael before. Who was the one who kicked out the nations of the world and said, you don't live there, you're in Mitzrayim, but I'm going to give it to you? Only Hashem, because He rules the world. Midah keneged midah. You don't want to acknowledge that He's the one who's in charge and runs the world? Then the default position is, you're not in the land of Eretz Yisrael, you're in Mitzrayim, and others are in the land. Get out of Mitzrayim. Your punishment for not acknowledging Elohei Hashem Lekeach is, so don't be in Eretz Yisrael. The only reason you got it is because I'm in charge. You don't think I'm in charge, and you have to run the world like you want to run it, so get out. You don't belong here. Therefore, Shemitah teaches us a massive mitzvah, maybe arguably one of the most important, Elohei Hashem Lekeach. That would be a mitzvah that the Ritbaz would say, I know why. You know, Shemitah justifies having a land there. It's yourself forcing me to keep Shemitah. A very important mitzvah. What do you want to say? Not everyone has that emunah. They felt there would be a problem. Certainly, of course, ideally one should keep Shemitah. They were very concerned. And in order to stop, to alleviate their concern, they found a heter. There are many things. You can burn all your chometz before Pesach, but Chazal found a way out. Chazal found a way of not losing thousands of pounds to a shopkeeper of a Pesach or a balabais, and they let him sell it. You haven't necessarily been mekayim your mitzvah. The Torah says tashbisu. The Torah has a mitzvah. Has somebody who sold their chometz, all they've done is circumvented and not been mekayim their mitzvah. Chazal found you a heter not to mekayim your mitzvah. Yes, because people want prusbel and shmita. Fine, so you're saying it's people who are worried. People are worried. So Chazal found. Shemitah's Kesafim is the same. Hillel discovered people weren't lending money before Shemitah because they were worried. Oh, the Torah says don't worry about it. If Hashem gives you a mitzvah, you don't have to worry. But people stop lending. So they had to work with what they had. I'm not getting into nowadays and thing. I'm just simply presenting an opinion. Just interestingly, I found in a sefer Kaftav Aferach was written close to 500 years ago. So one of the very very early Achronim. He's got three svarim. Maybe nowadays, the truth is nowadays they probably put into three. It used to probably be one sefer in very small writing. And he has a sefer all about Eretz Yisrael. And he writes like the Shitta of Rav Kook. He says, he proves that Eretz Yisrael is holy even though there's no mitzvahs. Not like the Ritbaz. The Ritbaz must prove it's definitely going to be if you do the mitzvahs. He says, my raya is that when Yaakov died, He insisted he be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Why would he insist he'd be buried in Eretz Yisrael? He can't be mekayem any mitzvahs. There was no mitzvahs at that moment in Eretz Yisrael. From the fact that Yaakov insists on being buried in Eretz Yisrael, there's a raya that there's a din of Eretz Yisrael, there's a kedusha and a reason to be in Eretz Yisrael, even though there's no mitzvahs. Of course, we brought up with Rashi. Rashi tells us different reasons why Yaakov wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. The kinim of the land, he didn't want to be buried amongst where the kinim was going to come from, he didn't want to go through the tunnels, whatever that means, when Tchias HaMeisim will come. But the Kaftor Ferach says that's a right, there's a Kedush of Eretz Yisrael, even without being Mekayim, even without mitzvahs. We all know, just a point I saw in the Shem Shmuel, we all know, you know, the famous the kids song, that Har Sinai, little Har Sinai, it merited to get the Torah because it was humble, and it didn't show off how big or how tall it was. I got one you can discuss maybe with your family at home, but what's the chiddush that Har Sinai didn't show off as to how big? If it wasn't the biggest mountain, it wasn't the widest mountain, then there's no big deal if Har Sinai, it's pretty obvious that Har Sinai's got nothing to shout about, right? So Har Sinai has special, because it didn't say it was the tallest. Well, no, of course not. Right? So one discuss and understanding, maybe it's probably very good with kids, to speak to kids about people's natures. Does it have to be that you actually have something to shout about it? Right? But that's a horror. Right, so the Shem Shmuel, it's a medrash. The medrash, the Meis, the Targum brings it down in Nach. This medrash about all the mountains arguing about who was about why they should have the Torah on there. But the Shem Shmuel says, he uses this medrash to answer something in Parshas Yisro. I never made the deer before. Wonderful deer. It says we all know the famous Maimach Chazal. Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ahor. That Klal Yisrael camped by Har Sinai. Rashi says Vayichan is a Loshon Yochid. Surely there was the whole of Klal Yisrael. What's Vayichan? It should say Vayachanu. Elomai, they had Achdus, Ke'ishachod, Ve'Levechod. They were like, they had Achdus, they were unity. Vayichan, they count. Ask the Sokachova, says if you read the Posuk, says it makes no sense. Two words beforehand, it says Vayisu Mirafidim, they journeyed from Rafidim, Vayavoyu Midbar Sinai, they came to Midbar Sinai, Vayachanu Ba Midbar, and they camped in the Midbar, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahor. Says the Sokachar, it makes no sense. Two words beforehand, it says Vayachanu Ba Midbar, they camped, Loshon Rabim, and then Vayichan Sham, the end of the Pasuk, Vayichan Sham Neged Ahor. Oh, Kishachob Belei Vachot. So what happened? Loshon Yochid, Loshon Rabim. Either they were unified or they weren't unified. So the Zotlus and the Shmuel, he says, the Torah is trying to teach you how much your environment influences you. When they came to Har Sinai, Kaviyochol, little humble Har Sinai, they learnt, why has Har Sinai got the Torah? Because it was humble. If a person is humble, he gets on with his neighbor. It's the arrogant person, the egoistical person, who feels that they're right, they're the ones who start the arguments. If everyone is humble, they know how to be unified. Vayachanu ba midbar, but when they got Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahor, a person where they live has a massive influence over them. Klal Yisrael, when they get a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, says the Ritbaz, that is to be influenced by what Eretz Yisrael gives us. A few very quick examples before we finish. You have the mitzvah, for example, of Trumas and Maisers. What is the concept of Trumas and Maisers? We give the Kohen and the Levi free food. Why do we give the Kohen and the Levi free food? What's the Kohen's job? What is the Torah teaching us by Trumas and Maisers? The Kohen's job is to push our Ruchnius. We send him, he works in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says that they used to set up little Chaburas in every town. They used to sit and learn what used to happen in the Beis HaMikdash. They are our Shlichim to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah says, I need a support system, you have to grow in Ruchnius. Appoint Kohenim. Yeah, but how are they going to look after themselves? Give them truma. We need to have a system set up to push us in Ruchnius. What did the Levim do? Levim were never given their own land to work on. How did they earn the parnosis, says Rashi? Melamde Tinokas. They were a town here, a town there. They used to teach. They had to teach kids. They used to teach people, education. But how are they going to make a parnosa? Give them maestros. The Torah, where it's Yisrael, teaches us a way of life. Teaches you, we need a system. I control the world. We need to have a Ruchnius system. Let's take another mitzvah, Kelayim. Kelayim only applies in Eretz Yisrael Midoraisa. What does Kelayim mean? If you have a vine, you mustn't plant, near the vine, you mustn't plant wheat and barley, because the Torah says you mustn't mix those two species. Why not? What's wrong with planting wheat and barley near a vine? Says the Sefer Chinuch, because when you plant wheat and barley near a vine, the roots of the vine, as it were, mix with the wheat, and you start to get a small taste. The wheat is no longer undiluted 100% wheat, it's starting to mix. You, as though you're saying to Rabbeinu Shlomo, the wheat you made was a bit imperfect.
I think it has to have a sort of a winey taste to add on to the wheat. Hashem created the world, perfect. When it comes to Gashmias, you're happy with what the Torah gave you. When it comes to Gashmias, we don't have to keep trying to better the world. When it comes to Ruchnias, we have the Kohenim we support. When it comes to the Gashmias, when it comes to the things that grow, the Gashmias, then we say what the Torah gave us is good, and what Hashem gave us is good enough. Perhaps, just add on one, that's just very quickly, one more. Orla. Orla Midiraisa only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Halacha L'Moshe Mesina applies in Chutz Laretz, and there are different halachas. Why is it? Orla means that you can't have the fruit from a tree in its first 3 years. And there's a halacha called Neta Ravai, which means when something grows, in the fourth year, you have to take it to Yerushalayim and eat it there. What's the svara behind Orla and Neta Ravai? Says the Sefer HaChinuch, I'll tell you the svara. Says the same way when you eat something, you have to make a bracha because you have to thank Hashem. When you grow a tree, you have to take the first thing that grows in that tree to Hashem. You have to take it to Yerushalayim and eat it there in Yerushalayim. However, I don't need to take the fruit that grows in the first year to Yerushalayim because it's not very good quality. You've got to wait till the fourth year. If you've got to wait till the fourth year, I don't want you to eat anything in the first three because I want to take the first thing that grows, you take to Yerushalayim. What's it teaching us? If Hashem gave us a tree, we go and take it to Yerushalayim and we go and say thank you to Him for giving to us. Eretz Yisrael with its mitzvahs teaches us halachas. Tainas the Ridbaz, maybe. That therefore, to go to Eretz Yisrael and not keep the mitzvahs, one is not Mekayim, which is Eretz Yisrael. The reason we got the mitzvahs, the reason we get Eretz Yisrael, is because the mitzvahs we do there teach us how to run our life. And therefore, without the keeping those mitzvahs, it is a surprise that when we're taught all these things, the Shechinah comes to rest in Eretz Yisrael. And perhaps a small idea, I haven't seen it somewhere, maybe it is, just a thought that occurred to me. Why Eretz Yisrael? Clearly, Eretz Yisrael is holy. Right? The Torah says there's a few of them, a mitzvah to live there. But what is it about this piece of land, you know, west of the Jordan River, east of the Mediterranean? What is it? What's about this piece of land that marks it out as a special piece of land? So maybe, I don't know. The Ravid says in the Sechet Tomid very quickly, the Ravid brings proof that the city of Yericho is singled out throughout Shas as a special city. It says that when the Kohen Gadol said his name, the Shem Hashem on Yom Kippur, they heard it in Yericho. They could smell the Keteris in Yericho. When they opened the door of the Heichel, they could hear it in Yericho. Says the Ravid, why Yericho? What's so important? Says the Ravid, when Yehoshua conquered the land, he decided, the first thing that I conquer, I have to give something to Hashem. Like you have truma, you grow in your field, you give something away, I want to give something to Hashem. What am I going to give to Hashem? The first thing that I conquer. When he conquered Yericho, he said, Yericho is cheirim. Nobody's allowed to benefit from Yericho. There was a curse. Anyone who touches Yericho, their children die, as it were. And therefore, Yericho was given specially to Hashem. Says the Ravid, and because it was given specially to Hashem, it was the first thing. It has all these special qualities on it. They can hear the Shem HaKohen Gadol, the Shem HaFarish, etc. Perhaps Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says in Yumoch that the Oren in the Kodesh HaKadoshim was on top of a small little stone. It was called the Eben Shasiyah. Says the Gemara, why was it called the Eben Shasiyah? Shmimena Hushas Ha'olam. From the Eben Shasiyah comes the world. Perhaps, the Targum Sheni says in Megillas Esther, Shem HaMelech knew where to plant orchards and fruit because he could trace from the Eben Shasiyah, where the root, as it were, where the source of this particular thing comes from, and he knew therefore where to plant his trees. Perhaps Eretz Yisrael became holy because that's Gufa where it all started, as it were. Wherever it started, that retained the main Kedusha, that's where the Kesha Kedushin is, and that's where Eretz Yisrael expanded. Mitz Hashem, we'll keep Shemitah this year, Neda, Ezus Hashem, we should be Zeicha that Eretz Yisrael will mean a lot for us, and we can return there soon. Being girl, Tzedek, Mehevi, Amen.